Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Scripture reading this morning will be the 138th Psalm. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand and against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
A few weeks ago, we began looking at several instances in Scripture where we see topics of worship dealt with. And we'll continue that study this morning as we think about worshiping in prayer. I do want to tell you that we have something a little bit special, a little bit different than usual this week. Because there will be so many who will be traveling over the holidays, we are going to have our midweek service on Tuesday. And on Tuesday, it's going to be a combined service, Tuesday night at 7. And our elders are going to lead us in a period of worship and specifically of prayer. Prayer for those in this church family, prayer for what's coming up in the future, prayer for the struggles that we're going through, just every aspect of our lives together as Christians, we're going to have a time to pray about and to reflect on. And so I hope you'll join us for that, and maybe you'll have family that'll be staying with you that can join us for that special time as well. As we think about prayer and as we think about worship, it's appropriate for us just to stop and consider the culture that we live in. They have officially announced the word of the year according to the Oxford Dictionary. I don't know if you saw that. You think about all the new words over the years that have come into being because of scientific studies. Maybe research has discovered a species of animal that they've never seen before, or maybe something out in the field of astronomy as they've discovered new stars and they've named different things. You can just imagine all of those names, or maybe some of the wording of poets over the years that have brought terms into our vocabulary. And in that tradition, the word of the year for 2013 is selfie. Selfie is a word that describes, if you don't know, the picture that you take when you have a camera that's on your phone and you take a picture of yourself. Maybe you take a picture of yourself on a trip or with some friends, and then you post that to social media and just sort of tell people what you're doing. The use of that word this year, in 2013, was up 17,000% as compared to previous years. In other words, it was really popular this year. And I thought that was interesting. Number one, I think it's interesting because anytime I've tried to take a picture of like Catherine and me when we're somewhere and I try to take a picture, I always end up looking terrible. I mean, Catherine looks great, but somehow I'm always looking really bad. And so you have to be good to be able to take one of those pictures.
But I also thought it's interesting how easy it is sometimes for us to get focused on ourselves. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking a picture of yourself when you're somewhere and posting it. And I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is we live in a culture where it's easy for us to start thinking about ourselves and our own lives. And when we do that, sometimes we can be blinded to what we really need to be focusing on. That's one of the blessings of worship. And even this study of worship is it's allowed us to realize, you know, it's not just about me. It's not just about us. It's not just about what I'm looking for or what I want. I'm thinking about serving God. And so we're going to do a couple of things this morning. We're going to think about prayer and what happens when we pray. But because we're in a time of year where we're focused on thanks and giving thanks, we're also going to think about how we pray prayers of thanksgiving. The psalm that Gilbert read, did you see the thread of thanksgiving throughout the entire psalm? What God has done in the past. The expectation of what God will do in the future and the constant thanksgiving. Over and over again in the psalms, we see the psalmist giving thanks to God. There are psalms of despair, but there are also psalms that consist of just nothing but praise and thanks. And sometimes it's easy for us to lose sight of what we have to be thankful for. All of us here today, no matter what our situation, have at least one or two blessings we can think of this morning that we can focus on and thank God for. We may have a lot of challenges, but we do have some blessings. It may be that you have to get a little creative. Leanne Van Dyke tells a story about her father, who is a preacher. And he'd gotten up and preached his heart out in a sermon. And as he was standing in the back and people were walking out the door, there was an older lady that came up to him and just, you know, shook his hand earnestly and very sincerely, looked at him and said, "Thank you so much for that sermon today." She was very grateful. And she said, "You know, the Lord really blessed you with a simple mind." And he thought, well, okay, it's maybe a creative way to find some blessing in the situation. I think I can relate to that a little bit. I like to make things simple, easy to understand. But the point is, even if we have to look at a different perspective, we need to reflect on what we can be grateful to God for. As we think about the entire concept of prayer, when is the last time we stopped and just reflected on the blessing of prayer? What happens in prayer? Really quickly, let's just think about what happens when a Christian prays. Number one, we see that the God of heaven hears us. The God who created us hears us. When I pray, I can have confidence that God is listening. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, we find out that if we pray to God, He hears us. We can know that He hears us. It's interesting to read through the book of Acts and to see that lived out in the life of the early church. In Acts chapter 12, for example, Peter gets thrown in prison. They've already taken the life of James, the brother of John, and that seemed to please the opponents of the Christians there. And so they put Peter in prison. And there's a group of Christians that have gathered together at a house of a woman named Mary, and they're praying that Peter would be released. And as they're praying, God sends an angel and releases Peter from prison. From the guards that are all around him, gets him out of the prison. It's a miracle that takes place. Peter comes to the house of Mary, where there are Christians who are praying that Peter would be released. He knocks on the door. A woman answers the door named Rhoda. She sees Peter there, and she's so excited when she hears that knock and she finds out this is Peter. She leaves him outside and runs back and tells everyone, and they don't believe her. Why are they reluctant to believe? It just seems so impossible. They were praying that Peter would be released, but they had to be convinced that their prayers had actually been answered the way they wanted them to. Sometimes it works that way. Sometimes we have to be reminded that God does hear our prayers. There are also times when our prayers aren't answered the way we want them to, when the answer doesn't show up on our doorstep. And it's important for us to be reminded that God hears us. The Creator of the world is listening when we pray. And we find out, too, in Scripture that God is listening and that we have the mediator that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's powerful to think about being able to be heard by the God who created us. And it's also unbelievable to think about the Son that was sent into the world, that Romans 8 and 34 tells us Jesus is at the right hand of God, a position of power. And when Paul would write to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 in verse 5, he would say there is one mediator. That when it comes to mediation between us and a holy God, there's only one. Only Jesus. That I don't have to go through anyone else. We're not under the old law of a priesthood where we go to priests that bring us before God. We have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that mediates for us. I don't have the authority to go into the throne room of the Creator. I'm a sinful human being, but through Jesus I'm able to have that communication. And not only do we have a Father who's listening to us, Jesus who mediates for us, we even have the Holy Spirit interceding for us. The way Paul would tell the church at Rome in Romans chapter 8 is in verse 26, he would say, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Have you ever had a moment where you didn't know exactly how to put into words what you wanted to pray for? You knew in your heart what you wanted to communicate, but there just didn't seem to be words that fit exactly what you wanted to say. Paul reminds us that in those moments, when we're wrapped up with difficult challenges and emotions, and we just don't know how to communicate what's on our heart, God understands because the Spirit is interceding for us with groans that words can't express. A language that we can't communicate in, making the needs of our heart known. And so you have this incredible picture in prayer of the Father and the Son and the Spirit all active when we pray to God. When is the last time we stopped and just thanked God for the gift of prayer? It's incredible that we could have this kind of privilege. We could look around and probably find also some many other things that we're thankful for. I've noticed that around this time of year, a lot of us have a very good and helpful habit of listing things that we're grateful for. That may be a tradition in your family. That may be something that happens when you go home or get together for a Thanksgiving meal, that you list things you're thankful for. I know I've seen some posts on Facebook of different things that we're thankful for. Those are encouraging. And what I'd like for us to do with the remaining time this morning is just to look at Paul's life and ask ourselves this question. If Paul made a thank you list of things that he prayed to God that he was grateful for, what would be on that list? Have you ever known someone who you just knew, without them saying it, they didn't talk about it, but you knew they had an active prayer life, that they were close to God? And have you ever wondered what it would be like? Maybe you wanted to just pick their brain a little bit. And what is it like when you pray to God? What are some things that are helpful for you? How have you been encouraged in your prayer life? Well, I think we can be encouraged this morning because Scripture gives us some glimpses into the prayer life of Paul. If Paul were making a list of things that he was thankful for in prayer, specifically to God, what would be on that list? I believe we get glimpses of a few of those things. The first is Paul is repeatedly thankful to God for faith. Not just for the concept of faith, but also for the faith of others. When he writes to the church at Rome in Romans 1, in verse 8, he says, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you." Now, what is the reason he's thanking God for them? Because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. He's thankful for their faith. Or in the first chapter of Colossians, when he writes to the church at Colossae, beginning in verse 3, he says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven." He's thinking about their faith. In other words, as soon as I heard about the faith of you Christians, we've been thanking God in our prayers for you. Or what about what he'd say to the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 1 in verse 3 when he says, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, and it is right because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing." The growth of other people's faith is something Paul was thankful for. I want to pause right there for just a moment. When is the last time I took the time to be encouraged by the growing faith of someone else? When I looked at another person and saw, you know, in the last few years they have really grown and they're growing in their faith and in their service, and that's exciting and that's encouraging. Those of you who teach, this is one of the blessings of teaching on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night, you get to see growth. And especially if you're teaching in the teenager group or even the teaching adult groups, you see growth of individuals who might have started out not knowing as much about Scripture but continue to grow. And they might have started out maybe not sure where to plug into ministry, but they find their place and they work and they grow. And that's exciting. It's encouraging. I need to ask myself, do I get excited? Am I thankful when others are growing in faith? What is my response when I see someone's faith grow? Or have I fallen into the trap of being so focused on myself, I'm not looking around me to see all of these blessings? I think that's an important question for us. Or when we read in the book of Philemon, the short book, Paul says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. I don't know if you've noticed as we've surveyed these passages, one thing is in common, and that is whenever we read Paul writing a letter to someone, that's not the only time he's thought of those Christians. He's been praying for them. Sometimes we think of Paul and his missionary journeys that he'd go here and start a congregation and kind of leave them and go here and start a place and leave them and go here. But even as Paul does that, he's continually praying for the people that he's known and the people that he's met. I wonder sometimes if I do as good a job as I should praying for those I've known over the years. Congregations I've known over the years, or places might have been on mission trips over the years. A friend of mine mentioned a couple of weeks ago that he has a sort of a collection of just some mementos from different places where he's been on mission trips. And he said regularly he likes to go at that place in his house where those little souvenirs are, and as he looks at each one, he prays for the congregation that's there in the place where he'd visited. So that's a great reminder to be praying for the faith of others. Paul was thankful for their faith and he continued to pray for it. You know, the faith of others has a great impact on us. When I read through the New Testament and I think of the great things that the Apostle Peter does, I'm also reminded of the fact that it was his brother Andrew who went and sought him out when Andrew started following Jesus. The faith of Andrew had an impact on Peter. Or even the author of these letters we've been reading, Paul. When Paul first becomes a Christian, when he has become sort of transformed as he's converted from Saul of Tarsus, who was persecuting Christians, to Paul, who is now going to preach for Christians, he comes to Jerusalem and no one really wants to have much to do with him because of his reputation. And yet Barnabas, the one we know of as an encourager, comes to Paul's side. Barnabas's faith had an impact on Paul. You know, we're here this morning, and if you're a Christian here this morning, very likely you're here because of the faith of someone else that had an impact on you. Maybe the faith of a family member. Might be the faith of a close friend of your family, or a friend that you got to know in school or at work. Somewhere down the road, someone's faith had an impact on us. I don't know of anyone that became a Christian solely by themselves. At some point along the way, a brother or sister in Christ walked with them through that journey and encouraged them. So just think for just a moment about the people in your life whose faith impacted you. We can all share in the same blessing that Paul had, being thankful for the faith of others. The faith of other people is important. And so as we continue to think through this and think about some of these items on Paul's Thanksgiving list, we see not only faith, but Paul was also thankful for hope. That's already been mentioned in that passage in Colossians chapter 1. But there are several times Paul refers to the hope of heaven. And we need to understand when we talk about hope, the biblical definition of hope is confidently expecting something. It's not a wishful thinking kind of hope. To say I hope for something and I wish for something, at least when we're talking about Scripture, those are not synonyms. A wish is something that in our wildest dreams might be able to happen. A hope is something we confidently expect to happen. And so when we talk about the hope of heaven, we're not thinking of a wish for heaven. We're not thinking that I'll be a Christian and then I wish for heaven someday. We're thinking I can confidently expect the hope of heaven. And when we have that understanding, it really impacts us to see how Paul refers to this hope time and time again. We saw it in Colossians 1 and verse 5, or even 1 Corinthians 15. Paul makes this comment. He says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There's that confidence, that confident expectation, that hope that we would see described in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 as something that does not disappoint. Look at the way the Hebrews author would describe it in Hebrews 6 and verse 19. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. When I think about a hope, I'm thinking of something solid. I'm thinking of an anchor. Something that's going to keep me grounded. That no matter what the storms of life do, I've got a hope. I've got something that I can hold on to. And Paul was grateful for that. Can you imagine with everything Paul had been through, the need for that foundation, the need for that grounding, something to grasp onto that was solid? And I think as we look around, especially as we watch what's happening in the news and forecast of what's going to happen in the future, it can be so easy to be so discouraged and depressed and to think, I don't know where things are going and I don't know what's going to happen in the future. And that's when we need to be reminded of that confident anchor we can have that's sure, that will not disappoint. There might be other things on earth that disappoint me, but the hope of Jesus Christ will never disappoint me. It's powerful to be reminded of our hope. And that'll change our perspective on everything. How will work look differently if I am confident in my hope in Christ? How does that change my perspective at work? How differently will I be looking at life? How will I prioritize my time? How will I deal with challenges and difficulties if I have that hope? It doesn't mean those things won't come, but how will I handle them differently? Maybe there'll be some things that happen at work or at school that I won't see as that big a deal if I'm confident in the hope of Jesus Christ. Maybe there'll be some things that seem so urgent, but if I take a step back and adjust my perspective, I'll be reminded, you know, that's not really the most important thing. Paul was thankful for the hope of Jesus Christ. And then we see over and over again the emphasis in Paul's writing on the love of Christ Jesus. It's hard to separate these three things, faith, hope, and love. It's a biblical grouping there. It's hard to separate those because they're all tied in together. But the love of Jesus Christ, it seems for Paul, was something that could just come over him. And even when you think about what we read in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, you have this pause in the middle of the passage where he says, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." It's almost like there aren't any words in the human language that can express how grateful we are for the love of God. It's unlike anything else. It's interesting when you're watching commercials, and there'll be a lot of commercials over the holiday season, whether it's the big sales that are coming up at the end of this week or whether it's just sales that will happen all through December. And a lot of times you'll see a commercial, and then you'll have, after the commercial offer is presented, there's like a 4 or 5 second window where someone comes on and reads all the restrictions on the offer that you just received. You know what I'm talking about. They're able to talk so quickly. I mean, I would love to meet someone who can do that, who can read through all the restrictions so quickly and does not apply to this and must live in this state or must, you know, whatever, and just reads all of those things. We're used to that. We're used to every kind of offer we see having a string attached to it. And so we're very reluctant when someone comes up to us and says, "Hey, do you want to join this or do you want to do this?" We're immediately thinking, okay, what are the strings? What are the conditions on this? And we see that enough in human relationships that we can be reluctant as well. Someone wants to be our friend and we're thinking, okay, now what's in this for them? Someone wants to spend time with us and we're thinking, okay, are they trying to get ahead at work? Are they trying to find some of my contacts that they're trying to get in good with? Or are they trying to do this or do that? And we immediately start assigning motives to people because we're so used to having those around us who view relationships as a conditional kind of thing. And, well, I'll be friends with you as long as this and this and this. I'll love you as long as this and this and this happens. But when that changes, then we're going to renegotiate. You know, when that changes, then things are going to be different. We're used to that. And so when it comes to the love of God, a love that we find out is for all of God's creation, this kind of unconditional love is unlike anything else. Now, as we see salvation described, we understand what's necessary for salvation. We understand that there are conditions of being saved, but the love that prompts that salvation is open to everyone. And so it's different than anything else. It's a love that God shows for us even when we didn't deserve it, even when we didn't think that we wanted it, God still showed that kind of love. I believe those are some of the reasons it's inexpressible. And I have to ask myself, when is the last time I thanked God in prayer simply for that, for His love for me, His love for us? When is the last time I thanked Him for the blessing of being part of the church that's only here because it was established by God, because He loved His creation enough to give them a way to spend an eternity with Him? I think these are challenging questions for us. It's challenging for us to ask ourselves, what if the only blessings I had in life were the blessings that I had been praying about? The things that I had asked God for? Or, maybe more importantly, the things I had thanked God for? I mean, today, if every blessing that I haven't thanked God for was taken away from my life, what would it look like? Have I thanked God for all He's given me? And as we look down Paul's list, the faith of others, the hope of heaven, the love that God has expressed, I think that gives us a powerful challenge. And so what I'd like for us to do in just a couple of minutes we have left is to take time this morning and to think through each of these gifts that Paul was grateful for. You may have your informer with you, and so you may want to jot some things down just on a piece of paper. But think about the faith of others in your life. Are there names that come to mind when you think of someone whose faith impacted you? I would encourage you, just jot that down. You don't have to share that with anyone. We're not taking them up. It's not a test or anything, but just a chance to write down people whose faith has impacted you. As we think about the hope of heaven, think for just a moment about the blessing of that hope. You might want to write down a verse that comes to mind when you think about that hope. Maybe a verse we've discussed this morning. Something that you can take with you to remind you whenever things seem to pile in and things get crazy in your schedule, you can be reminded of that hope. And then think about the love that God has provided. Think about the gift that was given, and maybe you want to write down a scripture that reminds you of that, or maybe you want to jot down the name of someone else that you want to tell about that love. But as you do that, we're going to have just a moment, a chance where we can pray together and simply thank God for these things. It's good for us to come to God and have requests and petitions. That's a good thing. God created us and wants to hear those things. But this is going to be a time where we focus specifically on just a prayer of thanksgiving, thanking Him for what He's given us. I would encourage you, as you look down at maybe some things you've written down, keep those in your mind as we pray together. And I want to challenge us this week, at least one other time this week, even in the midst of a busy schedule, to get by yourself and to look at this list that you've made, or maybe even the mental notes that you've thought of. Have some time by yourself and just thank God for His blessings. If you would, please bow with me as we pray. Our Father in heaven, as we've come before You this morning, we've looked at passages of Scripture that encourage us to thank You for all that You've done. Father, we know that You alone are the Creator of everything and are in control of everything. As the psalmist said, You have the cattle on a thousand hills, and we know that there's nothing we have that You need, and yet You desire us to have a relationship with You and to be thankful for what You've given us. We thank You this morning for the faith of others. There are so many names that are on people's minds in this room, and Father, You know them, and You know the lives of those who have impacted us. I thank You for the faith of those in this congregation over the years. those who are no longer with us but made an indelible impact because of their faith in you. And I pray that we could have that same impact on the lives of others. Thank you for the faith of those who have molded and shaped our lives. We thank you for the hope of heaven. And Father, thank you for the expectation we can have because you are true to your word. Not because of anything great we've done. We thank you for that promise. Thank you for giving us something to hold on to that's solid, even when life seems to be swirling around us. We thank you for the love that you've shown us in sending Jesus, the love that allows us to have salvation. Father, thank you for that love. And as we continue to share that with others, we're reminded every day of just how grateful we need to be for what you've given us. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. We all have something we can be thankful for. And not only is it important for us to be grateful for those things, it's vital for us to pray to God and to thank Him for what He's given us. This morning, if you would like to become a child of God, you can celebrate this morning the greatest gift that you could ever imagine, the greatest reason you could ever have to be thankful, and that is to be a child of His. If you need to come forward to put Christ on in baptism and to begin living the Christian life, you can do that. If you've already done that, and maybe there's just another need in your life you want to share with this church family, we'd love to pray with you, to pray for you. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and as we all sing together.